I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Oh, it's the weekly party hour. You probably hear that maybe a time or two on a Friday. But and this week, it's the minority party hour, which the Dems like to call the Dem Power Hour. And we'll have Representative Jonathan Carlin on here in just a few minutes. A freshman Democrat out of House District 96, Missoula area, and heads out to Alberton, Frenchtown area. He's got a proposal out there that I want to talk about. An interim study, at least on Smurfit Stone and the remediation efforts that may or may not go on out there. Housing to talk about in particular as well. Yes, it's the Empower Hour on Voices of Montana today. With hearing from leadership and members of the Democratic Party 1 week and then the Republican Party on the next. So like I say, we call it the Minority Party Hour or the Majority Party Hour. Jonathan Carlin, representative out of House District 96, joins us for this week's Dem Power Hour. How you doing, Rep?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tom?
Good, good. Thanks for being here. Appreciate that. How you holding up? Now, you're a freshman legislator.
I am.
But you're no stranger, though, to, I guess I would say, the spotlight. But how's it going? You know, when you go in, you're probably educated as much as maybe you think you can be. And then you learn something probably new every day, huh?
We do. And we deal with a huge range of issues. But it's been incredibly rewarding because, you know, we get to hear from Montanans every day and try to improve people's lives however we can. So it's been great.
Yeah, that's good to hear. What would be maybe your biggest surprise or the one or two things that you learned over the course of the first? Well, I guess you know we got the last 20 minus days going on here. What maybe surprised you about it all?
You know, I think one of the most interesting things has been when you put, you know, in the House, there's 100 of us from across the state, all different backgrounds, different ages. You put all of us in a room, you propose an idea, people are going to bring up points that you didn't even think of. And so, you know, I think as we've gone through this process, I've really, I think, learned the importance of, if you got an idea, to really get as many opinions on it as you possibly can, because, you know, people are going to think of stuff that you didn't think of, and then you'll end up in a whole debate you didn't expect to end up in. So, you know, really working across the aisle to try to, you know, I think good ideas aren't partisan, you know, and if you can collaborate on good policy, I found that, you know, you can cut through a lot of all the kind of partisanship that I think people are really tired of.
Yeah, and I think that I, for the most part, our legislators do that, and I'm very thankful for that. House Bill 889, which you are carrying, you're sponsoring, Representative Jonathan Carlin, along with Senator Pat Flowers out of the Great Falls area. He's the House or the Senate Minority Leader. And just as I look at this, when you talk about a learning experience, maybe, I don't know if you had help writing this bill. It deals with the Residential Mobile Home Lot Rental Act, and there's some good things in here, but there's a lot of things crossed out. You know, as you look at this, and I was just... I caught some of, you know, there's amendments here and there. That's a perfect example, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, on this bill, I mean, the real impetus of this is that folks living in mobile home parks are really on the front lines of our housing crisis. We see these mobile home parks getting bought out by these out-of-state private equity firms. Mm-hmm. And so the legislature's really grappled with this over the years, but hasn't done all that much to help to tackle this problem. So what this bill did was we started out with a whole bunch of things that would help folks living in mobile home parks. And as we've moved through the process, hear everybody's concerns, you know, but politics is the art of the possible. And so we, you know, what those crossed out sections are parts that, you know, we said we wouldn't be able to get support unless we amend this, unless we cross out that. So there's been a lot of amendments, but I'm really happy with the product that just yesterday passed out of Senate committee.
Yeah, and I noted that as well. I was trying to catch. So I did catch some of that hearing just to see what the discussion was about this bill. It was a close vote, but this bill will then be on the Senate floor before too long. And go ahead.
Oh, so yeah, I expect that it'll be on the Senate floor Monday or Tuesday, okay, would be my guess. And then if it passes the Senate, it has to go back to the House, and the House has to agree to the amendments. Then if they agree to the amendments, it'll be on the governor's desk.
Yeah. Why don't you go into this bill a little bit more? Because just go into it more. But one question I have here, I've seen landlords line up on both sides of this mm-hmm. issue.
Yeah, so that's a great point. In terms of some of the details of what the bill does, I'll touch on a few of them.
Please.
Right now in statute, the Mobile Home Lot Rental Act says a lease term is month to month. But what, you know, if you own a manufactured home, you own a mobile home in a mobile home park, it's not that easy to move these homes. And so month to month lease provides very little stability. I mean, most people renting an apartment have a year lease. So this says that you have to provide tenants with the option of a year-long lease. Provides more stability. You also say you have to give 60 days notice before changing lease terms, before increasing rent. We require a 30-day turnaround time for landlords to approve or deny a buyer of a manufactured home. Because if I own a manufactured home in a mobile home park and I sell my home, right now the landlords can delay, and then the deal falls through. So we say you got to approve or deny within a month. We also add in some protections for tenants when it comes to changing park rules. So we say before you terminate a rental agreement for violating a new park rule, you have to give 60 days notice. This way people can learn about the rule, correct their behavior. And the last two things we do are we protect resident organizations. So a lot of parks, almost like an HOA, are forming resident organizations to advocate for park maintenance, things like that. And so we want to make sure we protect those organizations from interference. A landlord can't say people aren't allowed to meet, they're not allowed to organize. We want to make sure they can. And then we also make sure that we strengthen retaliation protection. So what we're seeing is when some of these out-of-state private equity firms are purchasing these mobile home parks, the maintenance declines. I mean, I have in my district, I have people with sand in their water living in a mobile home park, and they're advocating to try to make change. Then when they go in front of their city council or their county commission, for example, they'll face retaliation, higher rents, changing lease terms. So what we do is we make it clear that you can't change someone's lease terms because they're exercising their First Amendment right.
And I appreciated that. I noted that that's under Section 5 of the bill. Wise protections, because this manipulation, it comes in many forms. What about the when these private equity firms come in, you wanted to enforce like a 1-year notice on plans of park sales. And I know that's another circumstance where mobile home owners, I think people and a lot of people have owned mobile homes and then mm-hmm. moved on onto more permanent residencies. And it's an affordable option. It really is. And it's a good starter place. But they are at a certain disadvantage in some ways. But a year's notice on major park plans, how did that discussion go? And what's the final outcome there?
Yeah, so what we see with these mobile home parks is a lot of them are on large parcel land. And that land is incredibly valuable. So park owners will sometimes file for a change of use permit to, say, turn that land into subdivisions, condos, commercial, whatever they might want to do. And that's the free market, right?
Right.
That's people have the right to do that. Yep. It takes a long time for that to happen. You put in a change, you got to file a permit with local government. I mean, that can take years. So what this bill does is it says once you initiate that process, you have to let your residents know. This way they can make or start making arrangements to potentially move their home, find alternate housing. And so what this is really about is saying, I mean, this whole bill is, and I'm a free market guy, right? And so people can do what they want with their property, but by providing people living in mobile homes with the most possible notice, we can make sure that there's enough time for everybody to make the right decisions for them.
Representative Jonathan Carlin, House District 96, a Democrat, that's the Missoula area and west. We're talking about a bill that is still alive. In fact, it passed the House, came out of a Senate committee just yesterday, and will be on the House or Senate floor. And it's 889, House Bill 889. He and Senator Pat Flowers co-sponsoring that amendment. So give us the larger picture here then too, Representative, about I know in some circumstances, there's, like I say, language crossed out here. You reached for the moon, if that's just a colloquialism. But what are some of those things that you'd like to accomplish if you are able to take another step here?
With this bill, what I'd like to accomplish is laying a basic groundwork so that people living in mobile home parks have, a basic set of rights and expectations. So that, we're in a really tight housing market, so that people have enough time to make the right decision for themselves and that they're not going to face unfair practices. I mean, I really view this as consumer protection. And this bill, even in its original form, which was a little more aspirational than the current form, and I'm still happy with the current form, it's not going to solve all the problems. But, I think we have to take incremental steps to modernizing our laws to reflect the state of housing today. I mean, it's not easy to find a place to move a mobile home right now.
Right.
And we can't fix that in any one bill, but we can start making steps toward addressing these problems. And I've got other, there's been a lot of good stuff around housing this session. Mm-hmm. And so I view this as just one piece of that broader initiative.
Yeah, that was part of the art of the legislature this year, was entertaining all these ideas and then about housing. And then adding or taking that discussion and hopefully giving us something clean out of the process. What's the status? How many of these equity firms are coming in? Give us an idea of really the magnitude of this as the problem.
Yeah. So I don't have all the numbers because it's hard to track some of that. Haven Park, which is a Utah based private equity firm, they've purchased mobile home parks. There's either one or two in Great Falls, Billings, Kalispell. I mean, what we're really seeing is in all of our cities, mobile home parks are being purchased by, they're not only being purchased by private equity mm-hmm. firms, but we're seeing this across the state. And these mobile home parks are really a cash cow, because what they do is they'll come in, either an individual or a private equity firm, when they buy the park, if they jack up the rents, then they can borrow against the value of the mobile home park, because the higher you raise the rent, the more valuable on paper that mobile home park is.
Oh, I see.
And yeah. So then they can borrow more money and buy more parks. And so what we see is that there's, just this sort of unfortunate vicious cycle around Ponzi. Raising rents.
Almost a Ponzi scheme, right?
Exactly.
It builds on itself, yeah. Yeah,
exactly. It builds upon itself.
What kind of push? I got to take a break, but we can roll here a little bit. What kind of pushback did these equity firms give? Was it very present here? And what was their effort to try and protect their interests, I guess?
Yeah. So the pushback that we got is primarily from landlords, from park owners, from the landlord association, mm-hmm. because this bill, of course, affects not just some of these parks getting bought up. It's also It affects all mobile home parks.
Mm-hmm.
The response, and we also had landlords support this bill. They feel like these policies are going to be onerous. They don't want to have to provide a year-long lease. They think some of the notice requirements are violations of private property rights. They think it's going to be harder to evict people. Most of those claims are really all of them just aren't true, because nothing changes in terms of if you're violating your lease, you can be evicted. Nothing changes. And you can still sell your trailer park. You can still increase rent. Nothing that this bill does changes that. We just want to provide more notice. And so, what I tried to do with this bill is to say, and Representative George Nikolakakis, who's a Republican out of Great Falls, is someone that I've been working with really closely on this bill. He owns mobile home parks. And so what we wanted to do is say, what are the good mobile home park owners? What are they doing already? you know, there's a lot of mom and pop park owners who are doing a great job. They've got great relationships with their tenants. So we say, what are they already doing? And how can we make that industry standard? And so that's what this bill is focused on. It's not focused on punishing the good guys. It's focused on making sure we have a level playing field across the state.
Well, that's the kind of legislation that a lot of people can, you know, they can appreciate. I noted this as you said, nothing in this section, and I'm kind of on whatever it is, page 5 here in the bill, section 2. Nothing in this section prevents a landlord from terminating a rental agreement. Earlier it also says here, a landlord and tenant may include in a rental agreement terms and conditions not prohibited by this chapter. And those are important, I think, too, as you talk about, being open to those market suggestions. I think that protects both sides. I very much can appreciate that, too. We'll see the fate of it here pretty soon, I guess, as it'll hit the Senate floor. We'll keep track of that. Got to take a break. Representative Jonathan Carlin is with us here for the weekly Minority Party Hour. Power Hour. And you can join us here too at 866-627-5483. Text a message at 781-627-5483. Jonathan's open to that. We're back with more here in a bit on Voices Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
We're back with Representative Jonathan Carlin, House District 96, carrier of a major proposal regarding mobile home. But you've looked, mobile homes, 889 is the bill out of the House. You've looked at housing from a broad standpoint then as you're looking at, and I know this noted that you brought some other bills to bear too. Give us your opinion of where the legislature is at, how we've addressed the problem. And also, again, as part of that amalgamation of ideas out there, what do you think will come out?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I think it's probably one of the biggest issues that we face, and both parties are bringing, are working on this. So I think of the housing issue kind of on two tracks. We have, I guess what I would say, the sort of deregulatory track, if you will, and then the actual investment. And so we're seeing reforms, proposed changes around zoning and around the role of the state and local governments. And some of those I agree with, some of those I disagree with. And then we're also seeing on the kind of investment side, just recently, both the minority and the majority, and I think you guys talked about this on the show last week, came up with, $115 million investment in the coal trust around housing, which I think that's fantastic. I'd love to see more than $115 million, but that is by far better than nothing and a great way to go. An example of like some of these really small solutions that have big results is like I have a bill around, it actually just passed the Senate, around permit fees, where we see a lot of red tape when it comes to getting building permits approved, getting shovels in the ground to actually build homes that people can afford. So like one really small change I brought is a bill that actually allows local governments to use building permit fees to approve building permits. Right now, which sounds like it's simple, but there's a change in statute we had to do, which unlocks existing money for local governments to get permits approved faster. And time is money when it comes to building housing. So there's a lot of changes like that, which are, really, they're not partisan, but they help strip a lot of red tape around actually getting homes built and cutting some of the bureaucracy, frankly.
Let's see. I'm at a break here. Let me take it. And I appreciate that answer. I know there's more to go into there, too, but there's been a lot of discussion about housing, and so I very much appreciate that focus, and I think we'll see some good measures coming out, and maybe not just only this session, but I think this conversation carries over. We'll see our issues, I think, carry over.
Yeah, and these and with an issue like housing, it's a long game. Yep. It can take years to get. When you think of a subdivision, when you think of multifamily housing, it takes years to get these approved, planned, and built. And so there's no instantaneous solution, but the way I see this, we're really laying the groundwork for, I think, long-term solutions to our housing crisis.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. Look at standby, a short break. We'll get up to date on some headlines here. Skip and Hamilton, stand by. We'll get to your question with Representative Jonathan Carlin here in just a bit on Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Curious about the discussion regarding child care and how we're improving services there. We may have time for that a bit later on with Representative Jonathan Carlin, House District 96, Missoula area and west, as he is our special guest here for the what we call the Minority Party Hour, what they like to call the Dem. Wait, no, I'm getting them confused now. The Minority Party Hour, the Dem Power Hour. That's what it is. Anyway, let's go right to it. Representative, thank you again. Skip is listening in Hamilton, KLYQ. I know you pay attention. What do you got?
I do, sir. Thank you. And you guys have been pushing my buttons since you started.
Hey.
And you rattled off all these bills, Tom, that the same ones that I keep my eye on because they're so important for our future right here in Montana. And Jonathan, I've talked to you before, and it was about the 372 bill, which mm-hmm. had to do with changing the wording about harvesting wild animals in our state. And I appreciate it very much. It was a different program. And you read right out of the Montana state constitution, and it sounded reasonable to me just the way it was. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, is that still alive, that 372? And if it is it possible that it gets the 100 votes it needs for a supermajority to end up being on the ballot? And then I wanted to tell you, when it came to all of the things that I hear you saying, I'm a Republican, but I hear you speaking so many times about really common sense things. And I appreciate your explanations, because a lot of them aren't things that should have either a red or a blue tag on them. And I appreciate the way you handle things. So I'll let it there. And if you can give me an answer on 372, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Skip. Appreciate that. 90 seconds.
Thank you, Skip. Yeah, I really appreciate the kind words. On 372, the short answer is that the bill is still alive. That said, when it went through the House, it would have basically had to get, so these bills have to get 100 votes between the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. In the House, the bill got 64 votes, which means, and no Democrats voted for it, 64 Republicans voted for it, and 4 Republicans voted against it. The bill just yesterday had a hearing in the Senate. In order for it to pass, you'd have to get all of the Senate Republicans to vote for it and some of the Senate Democrats to vote for it. So it is still alive, but its path toward actually getting passed and onto the ballot has gotten harder, because now it's going to require essentially more Democrats to join all of the Republicans.
What again, what was the bill in like 15 seconds?
So House Bill 372 would add a right to hunt, fish, and trap to the state constitution. Currently, the state constitution does provide us with a right to harvest fish and wildlife.
Gotcha.
This, or an opportunity to harvest fish and wildlife, this would...
Stand by. Representative Jonathan Carlin with us here today on Voices of Montana. Back with more in a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
It's a real party now. Welcome, Friday. I hope the weekend plans will be charitable to you. Thank you for being here, two decades strong and working on three. It's from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana, Tom Schultz alongside. As, like I say, it's a real party now. Cindy in Great Falls, stand by. We have Representative Jonathan Carlin on our weekly party hour. This is the Dem Power Hour. Alice Buckley, Representative Alice Buckley, who represents House District 63 in the Bozeman area, joins us as well. So first, let's say good morning and thank you, Representative Buckley. How are you?
Hey, Tom. Good to be back.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. Representative Carlin's still with us. I know you two are very familiar. Why don't we start? Cindy's listening in Great Falls. So I want to get to some child care issues, too, because I know Representative Buckley has led in that area from that side of the aisle. And I'm interested in the overall discussion, too. But Cindy, listening in Great Falls, talk of the town, KQDI. Thanks for joining us here today.
Hi. Thank you.
You're on the air.
Okay, well, I'm here in Great Falls, and I have been basically working with the seven Montana parks that were bought by this private equity firm, Haven Park, and have been working toward getting this protective legislation that Representative Carlin is well on the way to helping us achieve. And basically, what this is going to help us with is give us a little peace of mind. Since Haven Park came in, just to give you an example of what we've been looking at is our lot rents, and we are homeowners and have all the same costs as a regular homeowner, but our lot rent, just for the dirt our homes sit on, has gone from about $280 a month to, new resident rates are $700.
Wow.
And basically, one of the biggest faults of these private equity firms is that they're really great at jacking up the rents and taking a lot of money out of the state and not adequately maintaining these parks. So this will, like I said, give us a little peace of mind that our homes aren't at threat on a daily basis.
Cindy, thank you for that. Jonathan?
Well, and I want to say Cindy Newman inspires me because she has been working on this issue for a long time and has been in the Capitol talking to legislators, testifying in hearings, and this bill would, I can say unequivocally, would not be where it is if not for the advocacy of her and others in the Great Falls area who are really taking matters into their own hands and advocating for policy that will help Montanans across the state. So,
Cindy,
I'm really grateful.
Let me ask you then, Cindy, what has been the pushback from those corporate interests toward this bill?
You know, initially there was a lot of pushback, and basically, because Montana is by far and away the only state that's being hurt by them, they immediately hired a media consultant firm to do their own particular spin on the issues. And there's a lot of misconception coming out of, well, we only raised their rent $25 and, you know, things that just aren't truthful. We have experienced a certain amount of retaliation and harassment to our efforts.
Mm-hmm.
But since this bill came out this year, there hasn't been a lot of pushback from Haven Park.
Mm.
I think it's when you are affecting the roof over people's head, people become pretty vocal in telling matters just exactly like they are. And one of the problems that we are experiencing is that in the session, in the last session, we did get a bill passed that was just so helpful that residents now have the first right to purchase their communities if they are up for sale.
Yeah.
However, those of us who are already owned by private equity firms, that's pretty much that ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
In that they have overpaid for the property itself, and by jacking up the rates, they've increased the value so much that it's pretty much would be out of the reach of us. And I will confirm that the demographic in a manufactured home park is 80% of us are retired seniors.
Yeah.
Most of us have, we've looked at this form of affordable housing to meet the requirements of the more modest means of
right.
retirement.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're looking at a lot of disabled people, a lot of senior citizens, and people who just can't afford these big rate increases, and it's scary.
Cindy, I appreciate that. That's the kind of advocacy that that I think our democracy functions best in. So thank you for that. I was happy to hear that maybe they're getting the message a little bit. Again, you know, putting those restrictions on and leveling the playing field, I think there's always a lot of support. Maybe, I know there people have their own interests, but I think in general there's a lot of support for that. Thank you, Cindy, for that. Representative Carlin, stand by. Well, stay with us. Representative Buckley, good morning again. How's your session experience going so far?
Good morning. Good. I feel it's, we're in the 70s, so we just have a couple weeks left, but I have some energy. I have some playfulness. I'm working hard on policy and having some policy wins, and that feels fun. So oddly, I am doing really well, Tom.
Are you keeping an eye on Jonathan, or is Jonathan keeping an eye on you?
We're both keeping an eye on each other. That's what, hey, in the super minority, we have to stick together, and that is what we're doing pretty darn well.
Talk to me.
And I'm really proud of Jonathan and the way he's showing up in his first term, and so I'm not helping much, but I am proud.
Tell me about the discussion regarding child care. I know you've got some bills moving forward. We've kind of talked about that with various other folks as well, and I'm glad you're back on here. But I'm looking at as some of those other proposals that didn't necessarily receive the same kind of support. I'm wondering what the overall discussion is about the value of all those proposals in terms of moving forward with getting some child care resources out there that it can be sustained as much as possible and to really help our situation.
Absolutely, Tom. It's been the policy priority I've been focusing on the most. I think the most exciting part about this session is that we are seeing more proposals out there that address our child care shortage. And that feels important because really up until this session, we hadn't had a substantive policy debate on child care. I brought a couple of bills last session, and we had some discussions about the ratios, but nothing went through that actually moved the needle. And I think really for a long time, both in Montana and nationwide, child care has been relegated to a conversation about families and what happens in the home, and we haven't thought about it as an economic or a workforce issue. And I think one of the benefits of COVID is that it really helped thrust child care and the importance of child care as a part of our workforce infrastructure into the policy arena. And so we've been having debates across a number of committees, and that's really fun. We've had debates in the tax committee about tax credits for child care providers. We've had debates in business and labor. We've had debates in health and human services about the Best Beginnings Scholarship. So in a number of committees, just start and on the House floor and on the Senate floor again and again and again, starting to talk about why as a state, if we're thinking about investing in our workforce and economic development, child care, and making sure that working Montana parents have access to accessible, affordable, high quality care, why that's a critical part of how we're thinking about our state's economic development and growth.
Representative Carlin, why don't you weigh in with what your district experiences in the terms in terms of lack of childcare resources?
Yeah, that's a great question, because when I've been campaigning and knocking doors, like there's some issues that young Democrat, Republican, people are talking about how it's two things: it's really hard to find childcare, and it's hard to find affordable childcare, and this is one of those issues that I find that, I mean, there's grandparents that are really having to struggle to provide childcare because their kids are working. Sometimes they work odd hours and they're trying to fill in the gaps. And it cuts across party lines, and it's really an urgent issue. And it's only getting worse too, as, cost of living's gone up, gas, groceries. So we're seeing people just struggle to afford basic things like childcare. And I've also talked to a lot of people who would like to be in the workforce, but they can't enter the workforce because they're having to provide childcare for their kids. And so, I think the childcare issue will also help address some of our workforce shortages.
We have addressed here as well, and thank you for that. We have addressed here the, you know, a report that hopefully is now widely circulated among the legislature from the BBER that noted the economic benefits of adequate child resources, child care resources. So it makes it's making this more financial sense. Representative Buckley, what is some of those solutions? I know we kind of hit on them, policy. I think financially, I mean, it's not something we want to throw money at, but maybe we can encourage it in other areas. What have you liked that has about so far what's come out?
Right, absolutely, and we're going to have to take a number of approaches, and it's going to have to be across a number of sessions as well. Right, we have to address the workforce piece, because at the moment childcare workers are making poverty level wages in Montana and across the nation. So we have to think about workforce recruitment and retention and how to make sure these folks who want to work in the industry can. We have to think about affordability. If parents are paying more than their mortgage for childcare, what are we doing about moving the needle on affordability? We have to think about infrastructure, where we're putting these. We have to think about that all leads to this question of kind of what the role of the legislature is and all of that in terms of spurring public-private partnerships, in terms of stabilizing this incredibly unstable industry at the moment. The bill I've been most excited about is codifying a program called the Best Beginnings Program, Tom, and this has existed in Montana for the past 30 years. Mm-hmm. It effectively allows us to match some state dollars with a federal block grant. This exists in all 50 states. The feds put some dollars towards a block grant, which is designed to just stabilize childcare. It's designed for working folks who are making poverty level wages or just above, and help subsidize their care. So again, we have accessed this. The Department of Public Health and Human Services has been running it, but it really hasn't been working, and it hasn't been working for two reasons. The first is that we have been capped. This program has been capped at 150% of the federal poverty level, and that gets us to a single parent making $27,000 in the state. And I know in my district, in Jonathan's district, when we think about Missoula, Bozeman, the Flathead, $27,000 for a single parent is just, it's not cutting it. So I think we really have to reevaluate the eligibility levels, and my bill bumps up the eligibility levels. We also have a copay structure, so every one of these parents is paying a copay to have their kid be in a Best Beginning slot. But the copay has just led us to this benefits cliff. So it's disincentivized taking extra hours, because you might have a 5% bump in your monthly income and then paying a 15% bump in copay. So the math just doesn't add up. So this bill is really helping just stabilize that Best Beginnings program. And so many providers are accepting kids on a Best Beginnings scholarship, so that when we think about stabilizing this and injecting some more state resources into this, it's a fiscal note of $7 million a year, which is going to bump us up again to 185% of the federal poverty level. It's going to stabilize copays. It's going to be a real stabilizing force on the childcare industry. And then we can think about what else we want to do from there. There's been a couple other, I'll just quickly touch on a couple
we
other.
We probably
ones.
Don't have time. My apologies for that. Just one comment is that I know that you've got in the state house, the governor's mansion, someone who, and Governor Greg Gianforte, I think he's receptive to those ideas, because I know in the past he has said childcare is a concern in the state, and especially labor force. So that's good. Making progress. I'm very happy. And thanks for joining us. It was late notice. My apologies on that. I was glad to catch up with you. I know you guys have got a lot of work ahead too, but thanks for being a public servant, Alice. Representative Buckley.
Great to talk to you, Tom.
Yeah. And Representative Jonathan Carlin. How's how's my old stomping grounds over there, by the way?
It all is well, and thank you for having me on. It's always great to talk to you and hear from Montana.
Super stuff. We'll see you guys down the road. I will, I'll be peeking in on hearings and floor debates. So, on your best behavior.
Please do. Let me know if you're in the Capitol.
I will. Yep, you bet. Thank you two so much. I appreciate that.
Bye, Tom.
Thank you.
Representative Alice Buckley, again, serves the Bozeman area, House District 63, and Representative Jonathan Carlin, House District 96.